Today's way is number 21, minimize laughter. The late unlamented dictator and spiritual leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, once said, "There are no jokes in Islam." He meant that Islam is a very serious religion with many requirements and responsibilities to a God who gives immense rewards and punishments. Nothing to laugh about there. And we see that Islamic fundamentalist terrorists don't have much of a sense of humor. Even if their religion allowed it, you probably wouldn't enjoy going out with them for a beer. Judaism was also a very serious religion with many requirements and responsibilities to a God who gives immense rewards and punishments. But when the rabbis say minimize laughter, they are telling us that laughter has a place in Judaism. Like all the previous minimizes, they are telling us that we shouldn't overdo it. But used in the right way, it is not only good to laugh, but necessary for living. And Jews have internalized the pleasure of laughter. As Aish International speaker Ken Spiro pointed out, if the percentage of famous Jewish comedians compared to non-Jewish comedians were indicative of the amount of Jews in the world, there would be a billion Jews. To understand why laughter and jokes are pleasurable and why they're important for living, we need to understand what makes a joke a joke. Many years ago, I read a book called The Act of Creation by the Jewish writer and philosopher Arthur Koestler. The only thing I remember from it was his analysis of what makes a joke funny. Every joke, he said, was the coming together of two conflicting views of reality. When Groucho Marx said, "These are my principles, and if you don't like them, I have others," the joke was about the contradiction between an upright man living with principles, which are absolute and unchanging, turning into a person who's ready to change any of his principles in order to make a deal. When the comedian W.C. Fields said, "I remember the day I spent a month in Philadelphia," the contrast between a short day and a long month told us how boring Philadelphia was. The deflating of one seeming reality by another causes a pleasurable release of tension that we recognize as laughter. Once we understand what a joke is, we can understand why laughter is important for us and how it can be misused. On the simplest level, because laughter is a pleasurable release of tension, a good teacher often starts with a joke because it makes people ready to listen. The Talmud says that the great Amora Rav would do it, and all the best Jewish speakers today do it. But on a deeper level, what makes a joke a proper use of humor or a negative one is based on what views of reality you are contrasting. What is a good joke? It often involves contrasting our exaggerated sense of self-importance with reality. In old slapstick movies, it would be a pompous man who slips on a banana peel. In Jewish jokes, it would be Goldberg, who is mad at God for not listening to his many prayers to win the lottery until God tells him, "Goldberg, help me out. Just buy a ticket." That joke applies to a lot of us who expect God to take care of us like Goldberg, but don't want to make the efforts we could make. When we laugh at ourselves, we can enjoy life more and don't necessarily need to feel that we are owed everything by everybody. We can recognize that we are responsible for our failings and have renewed energy to do something about it. If Islamic fundamentalists had more of a sense of humor, they would have less grievances and kill less people. Laughter is also useful when it comes to taking false ideas and contrasting them to reality. We see the prophet Eliyahu at Mount Carmel making fun of the false god Baal by asking its followers whether the Baal isn't listening to them because he is going to the bathroom. For the Jews at the time, who were drawn to worship of the Baal, it was important to hear the Baal being ridiculed. In the same way we make jokes about the idols and false philosophies of today, Zuma and his many wives, the craziness of Islamic fundamentalism, the deformed social ideas of Western society. It makes us realize how confused the world we are living in is, so that we don't get caught up in it. When is a joke used in the wrong way? When it makes fun of concepts that are true and meaningful. Jokes about marriage, comparing marriage to a prison sentence, don't make marriages stronger. Jokes about extramarital affairs and sexual immorality, like so many modern comedians specialize in, weaken the social restrictions that ultimately maintain marriage and family. Jokes about people who take religion to the extreme can be good because they make fun of rigidity and over-self-importance, but jokes about keeping Jewish law or maintaining Jewish values can destroy very important laws and values. The worst types of jokes are those that ridicule people. Although friendly jokes can be used to help people relax and see themselves more clearly, jokes aimed at making fun of people can be deeply hurtful. Even when they are based on mistakes the person is making or bad character flaws, ridicule isn't justified. Faults aren't the essence of a person, and ridicule makes it seem like they are. Laughter can also be used by people to avoid dealing with important issues. Don't laugh off legitimate criticism. Leitzanut, making fun of everything, sets up a wall against anyone telling you the mistakes you're making or teaching you new ideas. God and the purpose of life, good and evil, are serious issues, and you can't take them lightly. But a person who carries around too much seriousness and self-importance will be too burdened down to accomplish much. When you can laugh at your limitations, it can give you the energy to change your life and the world.